spurious finger almost went up the man's nose. "Where shall I start?" he yelled. He glared at the two golems. "And why are you clowns repairing the treadmill?" he shouted. "Good grief, haven't you got the sense you are haven't you got any sense?" He stormed out of the building. Sergeant Colan stopped trying to scrape himself clean and ran to catch up with him. "I heard some people say they saw a golem come out the other door, sir," he said. "It was a red one, you know, red clay. But the one that was after me was white, sir." "Are you angry, Sam?"
"Who's the man that owns that place?"
"That's Mr. Catterall, sir. You know, he's always writing you letters about there being too many what he calls lesser races in the watch. You know, trolls and dwarfs."
The sergeant had to trot to keep up with him. "Get some zombies," said Vimes.
"You've always been dead against zombies, excuse my pun," said Sergeant Colan.
"Any want to join, are there?"
"Oh, yes, sir, a couple of good lads, sir. But for the grey skin hanging off 'em, you'd swear they hadn't been buried 5 minutes."
"Swear them in tomorrow."
"Right, sir, good idea. And of course it's a great saving not having to include them in the pension plan."
"They can patrol up on King's Down. After all, they're only human."
"Right, sir."
When Sam is in these moods, Colan thought, you agree with everything.
"You're really getting the hang of this affirmative action stuff, eh, sir?"
"Right now, I'd swear in a Gorgon."
"There's always Mr. Bleakley, sir. He's getting fed up with working in the kosher butchers and..."
"But no vampires. Never any vampires. Now, let's get a move on, Fred."
Nobby Nobbs ought to have known. That's what he told himself as he scuttled through the streets. All that stuff about kings and stuff. They'd wanted him to... it was a terrible thought. Volunteer. Nobby had spent a lifetime in one uniform or another, and one of the most basic lessons he'd learned was that men with red faces and plummy voices never, ever gave cushy numbers to the likes of Nobby. They'd ask for volunteers to do something big and clean, and you'd end up scrubbing some damn great drawbridge. They'd say, "Anyone here like good food?" And you'd be peeling potatoes for a week. You never, ever volunteered. Not even if a sergeant stood there and said, "We need someone to drink alcohol, bottles of, and make love, passionate, to women for the use of." There was always a snag. If a choir of angels asked for volunteers for paradise to step forward, Nobby knew enough to take one smart pace to the rear. When the call came for Corporal Nobbs, it would not find him wanting. It would not find him at all. Nobby avoided a herd of pigs in the middle of the street. Even Mr. Vimes never expected him to volunteer. He respected Nobby's pride. Nobby's head ached. It must have been the quail's eggs, he was sure. They couldn't be healthy birds to lay titchy eggs like that. He sidled past a cow that had got its head stuck in someone's window. Nobby as king. Oh, yes. No one ever gave a Nobbs anything except maybe a skin disease or 60 lashes. It was a dog-eat-Nobbs world, right enough. If there were to be a world competition for losers, a Nobbs would come first. Last. He stopped running and went to earth in a doorway. In its welcome shadows, he extracted a very short cigarette end from behind his ear and lit it. Now that he felt safe enough to think about more than flight, he wondered about all the animals that seemed to be on the streets. Unlike the family tree that had borne Fred Colan as its fruit, the creeping vine of the Nobbses had flourished only within city walls. Nobby was vaguely aware of animals as being food in a primary stage and left it at that, but he was pretty sure they weren't supposed to be wandering around untidily like this. Gangs of men were trying to round them up. Since they were tired and working at cross purposes, and the animals were hungry and bewildered, all that was happening was that the streets were getting a lot muddier. Nobby became aware that he was not alone in the doorway. He looked down. Also lurking in the shadows was a goat. It was unkempt and smelly, but it turned its head and gave Nobby the most knowing look he'd ever seen on the face of an animal. Unexpectedly and most uncharacteristically, Nobby was struck by a surge of fellow feeling. He pinched out the end of his cigarette and passed it down to the goat, which ate it.
"You and me both," said Nobby.
Miscellaneous livestock scattered madly as Carrot, Angua and Cherie made their way down the shambles. They especially tried to keep away from Angua. It seemed to Cherie that an invisible barrier was advancing in front of them. Some animals tried to climb walls or scattered madly into side alleys.
"Why are they so scared?" said Cherie.
Can't imagine, said Angua. A few maddened sheep ran away from them as they walked around the candle.